Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this beautiful, warm, sunshiny day. And we'll try to move through and get you out today and so you can go enjoy the day. This time you take your red pad, sign it, pass it down with your name, address, phone number, email, that type of information. We would appreciate it. There will be a special meeting of the Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Congregation today, May 20th, immediately following the service. Please plan to attend, and this will be concerning the possibility of paving the parking lot. And also today we'll be voting on Jennifer McComb, who's being seated right now, if anyone doesn't know her. And Nathaniel Linarito, who's not able to be here due to work, to serve as deacons. Mind you, that nursery is open, at least I hope it is. It usually is open every Sunday. And we ask that no food is brought into the sanctuary, and drinks, coffee, that type of thing. That's as a medical condition. A junior church every Sunday except the last Sunday of the month. Children 3 above, and that's over next door. And there's deacons have taken up food for the bread of life in Etna, and you can read about that. And deacons are preparing an acolyte schedule and vacation Bible school the week of July 16th through July the 20th. Any other announcements that need to be made? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise for this morning is found on page 231, Jesus Shall Reign. Let our worship continue with a prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear God, we worship you as Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of all life. We praise you as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Forgive us when we fail to worship you in your three personas. Teach us how to work together as the living church here on earth. Remind us that more gets accomplished through teamwork. Help us to realize that we need each other. May we learn to value our relationship with you and our church family. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Let us, with a true sense of unity, recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Introduce yourself. If you don't know someone's name, ask until you get to know it. A quick announcement. I wanted to make sure before I made this announcement. We've been talking about the garden, Valley Garden, as Session has started calling it. I believe there's going to be a meeting after the congregational meeting tonight for anyone that is interested in a garden plot. In our garden plot, if you're interested in growing vegetables or whatever they're going to be growing, they'll tell you more about it. And then a percentage of that will be donated to a food bank. So if you have any interest in that, you can stay for the meeting, or you can converse with Clara about it later, or Shawnee or Dan or someone. So we're very excited to get this kicked off, and I hope that you'll want to be a part of it. But the Valley Garden, talk to one of them. So thank you. Thank you, very beautiful. I believe that was a requested song a while back. So if you have a special song you'd like to hear, you can put it on I Wish, or something you'd like to get to me, put it on the I Wish card and drop it in the offering plate. Responsive reading is Unity 664 in the back of your hymnals. 664, Unity. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion,
then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose.
Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. This time we'll have a pastoral prayer, and this morning, due to the congregational meeting, I'm not going to take prayer requests, but if you have one, please write it down, put an offering plate, or email me or call me if you have something special you would like for me to know about. And you can peruse the back of the bulletin and your Valley newsletter. Let you know Nancy Baldwin is at home recuperating, so we are thankful for that. As we pray, I'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer. In our Presbyterian tradition, we say debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this very beautiful and warm day, and the warmth and the sunshine just enlivens us. But even more than that, your Son, Jesus Christ, brings a sense of life to us and literally gives us eternal life. For that, we are forever thankful, because we will spend all eternity with you if we believe on you as Lord and Savior and believe in your resurrection and confess your name. Thank you for giving us that opportunity. And thank you for the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit into our lives to empower us, to help us live a life worthy of the calling, giving us a chance in our own lives and our family lives and the life here at Glenshaw Valley to be one in spirit and faith, to be able to work together as a team. When we make our decisions for everything that we do and all of our team meetings and session council and deacon and the women's group and all the other aspects of our church. And we pray for one another, that we can be healthy, that we can find a sense of financial security in our lives, that we can mend broken relationships. Help us to reach out to one another with a sense of love and unity, believing that we represent you here on earth, that we are Christians, that we are your children. Thank you for every good thing that comes from above, every kind deed that you do for us, that we can reach out and do kind deeds for others. Lord, thank you for giving us this opportunity. Where there are sick, let us reach out and be healers. Where there are poor, let us reach out with what wealth we might have and help them along their way. Lord, bless us so we can be a blessing to others. Lord, thank you for this prayer that you left for your apostles and disciples and for us today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation is the screen song, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High.
Thank you.
Let's bow for a prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. We thank you that he was willing to go to the grave. We thank you that the grave could not hold him, and he rose on the third day. And we thank you that after showing himself to his apostles and his disciples and over 500, he ascended into heaven, and he sent his Holy Spirit back later. We thank you for that power, for that glory, and that you love your people. And we thank you that you have blessed your church, and you have empowered us with the Holy Spirit to go out and do good works. So we give back to you out of first fruits, our money, our time, our talents, our energies, our love, our compassion, our grace, our mercy. Lord, use us for your will and not for us, for our own. Lord, as pastor here, I ask that you bless this congregation, our members, our visitors. Touch them in a very special way. In your precious name we do pray. Amen. Bill Mueller, once again, come forth and read the scripture.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Today's scripture has three things in it that I would like to point out. First of all, Jesus takes time before he ascends into heaven to teach the disciples exactly why this had to take place and that it was already predicted in the scripture. He also takes time to tell them again to wait for the Holy Spirit to descend upon them. He tells them to stay in the city, and we celebrate this as Pentecost, when we receive the Holy Spirit. And the third thing is, he ascended into heaven, where he sits on the right hand of the Father and helps us to grow. So please listen to the message for you in Luke 24:44 through 53. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their eyes and their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. My sermon today really could have had more scripture read. After I wrote it, you could go if you'd like to and read Acts chapter 1, and that would, because that is actually part of my sermon today. And those of you who've gotten used to a certain style that I may have preaching, I'm throwing you a little bit of a curve today. Don't get into things. You ever say that to your children? Ever have it said to you? You know, just don't get into things. How many times did you hear that directive as a kid? Mom had to run to the store for a minute, or dad is out cutting the grass or working into the garage. And knowing that children, when left to their own devices, the last ditch effort, out of sight parenting is a generic and ultimately unenforceable order. Don't get into things. That's just giving them a command to go do it, almost, it seems like. Like that ever stopped kids from burrowing into the back of closets looking for Christmas presents? Like that ever kept the curious chemist from putting Mentos into the Coke bottles and shaking it, watching it explode? Or putting chocolate into chunks and melting it and trying to get hot chocolate from it? Being empowered by freedom coupled with being unsupervised makes it far too tempting for any of us, or for all of us, not to get into things. Jesus' resurrection was the miraculous, happy ending his disciples had never imagined possible. His physical presence in their midst, eating and talking with them, filled them with wonder and also filled them with confused joy. Then his opening up the scriptures opened their blurry eyes to read God's drama of salvation, of which they were now a historical part. Receiving Jesus' blessings and witnessing his ascension finally brought the disciples to a place of faith which they had never before inhabited. They were first-hand believers in the resurrection. They took to heart his promises of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Their faith went almost overnight from being unhinged to being untinged or not affected and untroubled by doubt. And this newfound joy and confidence in the disciples obediently stayed in Jerusalem, as they were told, praying in the temple, offering blessings to God, and waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's what Jesus told them to do. But Jesus had specifically told them to stay there and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit that was to come. Jesus told his disciples, don't get into things. In other words, don't really be doing anything until the power of the Holy Spirit has come. Just wait, pray, and wait. But Peter, Peter got antsy. He needed to do something. Peter had always responded to miracles with a physical do something energy. At the transformation, instead of wondering at the glory of the heavenly presence of Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus, Peter's all set to break out the tools and physically build a holy encampment for these heavenly visitors, a kind of Moses, Elijah, Jesus museum right there on the spot. Let's do something. Let's build it. When Jesus miraculously appears walking on the water towards the boat-bound disciples, Peter's the one who eagerly jumps ship to join him. Peter's the man of action, sitting and waiting on the Lord. It's not his style. Peter also denied Jesus three times. And Jesus' traitorous actions towards Jesus' arrest, but Peter's cowardly denial denigrated his own status as a disciple and apostle. And although there were strong symbolic reasons to have 12 disciples or 12 apostles representing the 12 tribes of Israel, Peter's actions surely shifted the focus on failed discipleship fully on to Judas and away from himself. So despite the direct instructions on Jesus to do nothing until the Holy Spirit comes, Peter got into things. You say, but nothing bad happened from disciples going out on their own and doing something while Jesus told them to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And choosing, when you read in Acts chapter 1, they chose Matthias to be the 12th apostle. Well, first of all, nothing particularly good happened either. Acting without the living presence of the Holy Spirit, the disciples were able to choose a new apostle, but their actions had no tangible consequences. They're reaching out on their own to make number 12 had no transformative power for the apostles, no transmitted message. For their considered candidate, Matthias, sinks into historical abyss. We never hear him mentioned again. We hear about all the other disciples in the Bible and in history, But Matthias is never mentioned again. There's one historical context about him, but we're not even sure if it is the same Matthias. Second, who knows what might have happened or who might have been chosen if the disciples had done as they were told and waited to take action until after the Spirit had come in His fullness. Because remember, Jesus came to Paul on the road to Damascus and chose him to be an apostle, which he called himself the 13th apostle. Who knows what surprises God had up his spirit sleeve? Only for us, if we follow our instructions and we listen for the direction of the Holy Spirit in our own personal lives and in the life of our family and in the life of Glenshaw Valley, and make sure we're listening for His leading for what we do. Sometimes staying in Jerusalem, not getting into things, is the hardest thing to do. But God's plan of salvation and God's plan of redemption did not come to an end at the moment of Jesus' ascension. There was more to come. Jesus' stay in Jerusalem directive cautioned His disciple witness to not get ahead of God, to not go ahead of Jesus. Disciples are followers, and no one can follow if they run ahead of their leader. When moms and dads warn their kids don't get into things, it's because they know that children do not yet have the tools and the talents to navigate the dangers of this very dangerous world. The same concern and compassion for His children had Jesus ordered His disciples to sit still and sit tight in Jerusalem until the coming of the Holy Spirit. Once empowered, once united by the Holy Spirit, these children of God would be ready to take on the world, but not before the power of the Holy Spirit. We are still commanded to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, the risen presence of Christ, before we strike out into the world. Jesus' disciples were always such a diverse group. They got along sometimes to get along, but they often operated as individuals, jockeyed for the position of favored, worried about their individual position in the hierarchy of the apostleship. And after Pentecost, those Jesus had chosen became a force of faithfulness and fearful witness for the world. It changed the way they acted and the way they saw themselves in light of the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts, when Peter decides it is time to elect a new disciple, he stands alone in front of the 120, the gathered group of believers, and pitches his plan. After Pentecost, even though Peter still often acts as spokesman, he is described as standing with the 11. When Peter stands alone, he gets in trouble. When Peter stands with the 11, he is upheld, empowered, and informed by the uniting presence of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Individual disciples, 12 tribes, have been transformed into a coherent community of faith. It is as if a spirit-driven community, not as individuals, that the witnessing mission of the gospel goes out into the world. Some of you have already seen the movie that has broken all box office records. Some of us will see it later. Some of you probably don't care about it. But the movie The Avengers, it's another comic book heroes waging yet another cool 3D battle against the bad guys. But The Avengers offers one new note to this traditional tale. In previous movies, the superheroes or the superness ones that don't have the superpowers but can do really kind of super things anyway, by using their own unique powers to overcome the forces of evil and destruction to get the bad guys and win. In the Avengers, not one of these chosen heroes are strong enough on their own. They must work together as a team to defeat the enemy. A team, a uniting force must drive them and bind them together so that they might succeed. And I love that concept. That's when we started redoing everything here at Glenshaw Valley. We did away with the talk of committee, which when I think of committee, I think of sitting in meetings, boring, and then I kind of think of nothing get done. But when I think of team, I think of action, working together, led by the Spirit, united together, and then moving forward in action, planning, and working together, and getting things done. After Pentecost, the disciples, the chosen 12, and the 120, and the other faithful, and all those who are to come, were joined together on the same team. Teamwork. They were given the same superhero strength of the Holy Spirit, not to act alone, but to act together as the body of Christ in the world. The only special numerology that is required to make a difference, to make a mark, is one. And that sounds like totally opposite of what I've just been saying. But we are together as one. One in spirit, one in faith, one in the Lord. Whether it's a team or whether it is our whole team, the team of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, moving forward. When we stand alone, we get into trouble. Little more than a momentary stay against the confusion and the evil and the chaos of the world outside these doors. But when we stand together, we stand as one, more than conquerors, through the one who loved us and sent us his Holy Spirit to empower us, to help us. The power of one has never been greater than it is today. So I ask you, will we stand this week and next week as one, united in faith through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of his Holy Spirit, to accomplish the missions that we seek to find, led by the Spirit, to do as a team here at Glenshaw Valley? Will we stand together as one? I hope so, because as I titled this sermon, Together, we can make a difference. And I believe we can make a difference in our lives for the people who are here, and we can make a difference for the people outside of these doors, the lives that we can touch. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love, 284. Thank you. Those of you who are able, I hope you can stay for the congregational meeting and then for the Valley Garden after that, or talk to the persons that were mentioned. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary, I hope that you feel a sense of love and unity and teamwork here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. And as you go out into the world, I hope you take that sense of unity and teamwork and your faith in Jesus Christ, and you let other people know that they can have a relationship with Christ and they can have the promise of eternal life. Go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.